And that's what a Hall of Fame guy looks like. You know, the Twins look, you look at the Twins' batting average. Now, the Twins' batting average is really good, but we're starting to see that batting average may be a little overrated.
Well, if they wind up getting, you know, they start doing things. If Buxton, who everyone's waiting for, would come up, and so if you got more speed at the top of the order, or if Santana can walk once in a while and he have that speed, he could have more RBI opportunities too.
It's possible. It's possible. I just, you know, I think the Twins are, I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. I hate to say it. I know that that's going to create a lot of hostility among some of those Twins fans out there. But when I look at their pitching staff, it's the same pitching staff. You know, a few new names, but it's the same pitching staff. They just don't have the pitching staff to get it done. You look at the pitching staff now. Now you got a couple guys on the pitching staff who would be probably among the top, the top 25 or so in ERA. You've got Gibson and Pelfrey, but, you know, then you look at their whip. You know, it's astronomical, and what the whip says. These guys both have a whip of I think like about what is it like 1.35 or so. You cannot sustain that and stay among the top pitchers.
No, you're giving up too many hits and too many walks.
Yeah, and then you look at their strikeout to walk ratio. And it's pathetic. It's like not even in the top 50. So that tells me it's not sustainable. And the other thing is, you know, it really drops from there. Then it gets really desperate from there. And the reason that's so significant is that in the course of a season, almost everybody gets hurt. You know, almost every pitcher gets hurt because if a guy were to pitch 200 innings, which some guys still do, he'd be throwing over 3,000 pitches. Now, the arm is not meant to do that, especially at, you know, 93 miles an hour, let alone 95, 96, but 93 would be about the average for a major league fastball. And I'll tell you what, I looked at the numbers real quickly. Since March, how many major league pitchers would you say have gone on the DL since March?
Well, I would be in the dozens. I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to guess at how many dozens it would be.
I count an even 100.
That meant, wow.
Yeah, an even 100. So everybody gets hurt, and that's why you got to have some depth there. The Twins have absolutely no depth. I mean, the Rochester, the Twin Cities shuttle has already begun.
Yeah.
Now I will say this: you do have the X factor with Santana. So that could help.
But as we learned the other day, you don't have them if they make it to the postseason. Now that's putting a lot just getting to the postseason.
Yeah, it is.
But he comes back for 82 games and then you lose him again if you happen to make the postseason.
But the beauty there, you know, and the reason why anybody caught doing steroids probably should be suspended for his lifetime is that there's more and more studies coming out that show that people who use PEDs, They get the benefits, even if they stop, you know, they get the benefits years and years later.
Because it doesn't just leave them.
It doesn't just leave them, and they've already got built up this exercise tolerance, the muscles, so the benefits go on forever.
Mike, we're talking to Mike Gelfand. Let me ask you about that. A friend of mine who wrote a book, we had him on the other day, John Pessa, he wrote a book called The Game about the last 20 years behind the scenes, but he also wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal, and his point was A-Rod should get into the Hall of Fame, and the reason he said that is, and you covered teams during this era, the amphetamine era, when he said that was that is also something where players had an advantage because they were taking these greenies and just to keep themselves going. And a lot of guys that were in that era are in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of guys that took amphetamines. Do you see a correlation there? Or where do you stand on these guys that took the PEDs versus the amphetamines for the Hall of Fame?
I think it's an absurd comparison. It's ridiculous. They're just not the same thing at all. They don't rise to the same level. And, I mean, in theory, you could probably drink enough coffee to get the same effect. So, no, I don't know. It's it's hard to draw a line there. You know, what about all the NHL players who took Sudafed?
And yes, because as a matter of fact, that was huge in the 80s and 90s for players.
And the thing about Sudafed is the advantage there was that it not only sped them up, it made them clinically insane. Which is a huge asset in the NHL.
But they also had clean nostrils.
That's
they
right.
could breathe
That's
better.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it's not the same thing. That's a, you know, if you don't get a hernia with that reach, you're never going to get one. I don't see it.
Well, that's why I wanted your perspective on it.
Yeah, I wish I could be more nuanced. I think the Twins have outperformed, you know, and I give Molitor some credit for that. So I'm not knocking any of that. But my team is Houston, and about 3 to 4 weeks ago, I put $50 down on them in Vegas to win the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get? What kind of odds?
I got 35-1.
Those are pretty good odds.
Yeah, it's not 35-1 anymore. But I love that team. You know, their batting average so-so, but I'm sure they're in the top two or three, aren't they, in stolen bases and home runs?
Yeah, they're number, and you know what? because I play that same, you remember the rotisserie league that
sure.
Wally, Walker, Dave, and I, you know, a bunch of us are in?
Yeah.
I traded for Jake Marisnick, and the day I trade is when he stopped running. He hasn't had a stolen base in the last 3 weeks. Stopped hitting. The guy was unbelievable.
I can't believe that. I mean, because that team never stopped running.
Yeah, well, he has. He's stuck at 9 stolen bases. Hopefully, he'll get it going again.
I think that if they win the World Series or win the pennant, I think there's a chance that Jose Altuve could be certainly the shortest man in the modern era to win the MVP award. And it certainly could happen. He is sensational in the field. He led the league in stolen bases last year. This year he's hitting with power, too.
5 home runs. That's 4 more than Joe Mauer.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And it's also 1 more than Joe Mauer hit last year. So Joe Mauer is actually on a pace to hit 4 more this year. I love Altuve. I love the team. And I love their approach. I think they're sensational. And a second baseman, it used to be you'd say he's a second baseman. With the infield shift now, the second baseman is as important as the shortstop. In fact, in the future, they won't even call guys, they won't even make the distinction, they'll just call them middle infielders.
Well, you know what's also very impressive what they're doing? George Springer's batting .205.
Yeah.
And he was supposedly their best player.
He's a sensational player. He probably would have projected and probably still does to hit about .235, .245 because he's not a huge average guy, but he's got enormous power. And I think he was hitting .150 through the first month or so.
Yeah, he has picked it up.
Yeah, and what he does in the outfield is mind-boggling.
He's a terrific player. It is a fun team. It's a fun young team to watch.
That's
for the most
thing,
part.
You know, and I don't, you know, you've known me for 30 years. I don't really get that excited about baseball teams very often.
No.
This is a team that has captured my imagination.
Well, Mike, I'm pulling for it just so you can get that 35-1 odds to come through for you.
Well, if I do, Bob, I'd say coffee's on me.
You've always been so generous.
Well,
I appreciate
it. That's the kind of guy I am. It's the way I was raised.
Mike, well, actually, Mike, we're not going to talk to you Monday because we're off on Memorial Day. So if you want to, we'll talk. If you want to pull another day in there, but we'll certainly talk to you next Friday because Mike has been gracious enough. He joins us on Mondays and Fridays, and I love talking to you.
If you want to talk Tuesday, give me a call.
You know what? Let's do that because we'll do it at like 3:15 because Marsh comes in at 3, and I know Marsh loves talking to you, too. He's a big fan of yours, Marsh Hallberg.
Yeah, no, I love talking to Marsh. You know, my mother, of course. Always dreamed I'd become an attorney.
Well, you sort of did without the license.
Well, the problem was that when I peaked out and decided to call it quits after the 65 college credits, it made law school somewhat of an impossibility.
Well, it's a shame because you would be one hell of a lawyer.
I'll talk to you Tuesday.
All right. Okay, great, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Mike Gelfand, thank you so much. We'll be right back. Be joined by Ruth Lord and got a few questions for her. I want to know who the Wolves are going to pick. We'll be right back.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Mike Zimmer, who's trying to build a monster.
I think this team is really designed to be an elite defense that can be productive offensively. Bring in good defensive players, get Zimmer what he needs, solidify the defense, make sure that you're not going to get routed in any game.
Zimmer is building a team that can easily win a game if Bridgewater's able to put up 21 points.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105. The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are back, and we are joined by Ruth Lordan at Psychic Ruth and Ruth Lordan, LORDAN.com. Ruth, we'll get right to it. Who are the Wolves going to take? Jahlil Okafor or Karl Anthony Towns? Some call him Karl Towns now. Psychically, who are they going to take?
Tyus. They're taking Tyus.
They're not going to take Tyus with the first pick. But you think they can get them him later in the...
You know, I kept feeling an eighth pick. Who's that going to be?
They don't have the eighth pick. They have the first pick.
But the eighth person they pick, or eighth pick.
No, they don't get eight picks.
I kept feeling eight. Or is there somebody that wore the number eight and also saw the number three? So who wears an eight or a three?
Why do you do this? You make us work here.
Yeah. Flip, I want you to take short people because you went with the tall, and I get a feeling that the short guys are going to do really, really well because it's time for basketball to up their game, to use new kinds of plays. Plus, they're going international, and guess what? Most of the world is not 7 feet tall. So they've got to go that way. Both of those names are people they want.
But who are they going to take? I'm looking for Karl Anthony Towns. He was 12 and Okafor was 15. So neither of those are the 8. Or would you say 8 or what?
I saw a 3 and an 8.
Well, if you subtract 15 from 12, that's a 3. But we're not
No. I see those numbers are important to them. Hopefully that's not just that they only win 3 games.
I don't think so. They'll win at least 4. But
that Karl person would be good. Yeah. But I don't think he wants to be here. They may go with that Okafor.
So you're thinking, I think they will take.
My feeling about him is he's willing to work and he's willing to do it and he's willing to improve. Well, and Flip needs a project because he still wants to be the star of the show.
Well, he's a little bit of a project. He's got to work on his defense and free throw shooting. So that
is
something.
He's the project. And he's all about his shoes.
Flip?
No, that first one. That
Okafor?
Yeah, he's all about shoes. I'm saying it's a big deal for him.
I just got to add this. Nobody in college basketball can wear the number 8.
And?
There's some kind of rules.
Wow.
6, 7, 8, or 9.
From what reason?
Rule 1, Section 22, Article 7, Clause B. Just says, little known statute that prohibits college basketball players from wearing any of the numerals 6,
Were they
7,
retired
8,
for any
nine.
Reason?
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't
I'm
make
still
sense.
Looking. There's so much to go through.
Well, which position was number 8 on the Timberwolves that they need to replace?
Well, there's no position. It's 1 through 5.
No, but who was number 8?
Numerically?
Who was number 8?
Oh, who was number 8?
Yeah, that they need to replace.
Oh, my God, Ruth, you quit throwing these numbers out.
Well, you should just be psychic, too. I can teach you that. I do teach development.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're not going to go that route right now. I'm going to switch off with you for a moment and ask you, do you want to know who wore number 8 for the Timberwolves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zach LaVine still has number 8. And he's not going anywhere.
And who could be his backup or replacement? Because
not
he was a little
those.
Bit of a disappointment, my feeling is. They're a little disappointed, so they need somebody best. They were there thinking back to how he was their great hope, this number 8, because I kept feeling that. Number 8, he was their great hope, and now they want to get somebody who'll be better than he will do more for them. And this Ricky Rubio, great guy, but he needs to be replaced.
He needs to stay healthy.
Well, that doesn't happen, so they need to hire somebody to take
like
his place.
Like Tyus Jones.
Do
you see Tyus Jones with the Timberwolves?
Yes, I do. If they're smart, they'll take him, and I do believe they're smart.
Well, they'd have to trade up to get him. He'll probably go in the late teens, early 20s, and they don't have a pick there.
I found out why.
Why?
It's to simplify hand gestures used by the refs. So because you'd have to hold up 5 and 1 if you needed number 6, and that could also be 51 or 15.
So they go everything above 5.
So you can't have anything with a 6, 7, 8, or 9 in it.
Stupid. You know what they also could do is they could put like two fists up to let you know that it's not the number of the player. It's something they're calling out. There are ways around that. That's just plain silliness. But it doesn't. How come it doesn't affect the pros? Obviously, because those numbers are out.
Well, I guess the professional referees are a little bit
little
better
sharper
at their job.
Ooh,
they're a little sharper. Helmsley's getting he's getting a little brash.
That'll happen.
Now, it's my energy.
All right, Ruth, let me ask you this question. I think the world of the lad. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him in the radio world. Do you agree? Say yes, even if you don't agree.
I do, but I'm seeing, the minute you said that, I saw like satellite. So he's going to go bigger. I saw a big satellite, like one of those satellite dishes. So he's going to go all the way with broadcast. And you'd be good with hacking. How are
space?
You with all that? No, how are you with hacking into things? And he's
well.
A techie.
Can you, hack into the government computers? Is that
not
what you're
a
saying?
Chance. They're a little bit brighter than I am.
You know, when you say you saw the satellite, maybe you see him moving to like Montana, Wyoming, where they got the big satellite dish and nothing else, living in the middle of nowhere, writing manifestos.
Some kind of pirate radio
thing.
I got my own satellite.
Yeah, well, that he could do, but I was seeing the satellite, like TV satellites. He knows a way to take things national. He can take this show and put it national and put it on the satellite.
Well, what are you
broadcast.
Waiting for? Come on, Helmsy, get it going.
I've got things to do. I'm hungry.
I see him hunched over a manifesto in a little cabin that's not heated.
He doesn't
just
have a beard.
Well, he's got the hair, though.
He doesn't have a beard.
I don't think he can grow one yet. Can you grow a beard?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I bet it does. I just haven't shaved in a few days, but I've got like holes. I could never grow up. Got a few holes there. All right, now, Ruth, the Twins. Playoffs or not playoffs?
Playoffs,
yes or no?
Playoffs.
You do believe that. That's not just your heart talking.
No. They're surprising everybody. As long as they stay healthy, they don't get hurt.
Right.
And that's up to them, and I believe they're playing smart.
Your Blackhawks are down 2-1 in the best of seven to Anaheim. Yes or no, Anaheim or Chicago? Who advances?
The Blackhawks. Come on
so
now.
So they will come back. I know that you could.
I am one. It's in my blood.
You were conceived after a Blackhawks game, so that's probably unfair to ask. All right, how about the Warriors up 2-0 on Houston? The Golden State Warriors or Houston Rockets? The Rockets came back from a 3-1 deficit in their last series. Can they come back again? You don't see it. I can
Who's
tell
got the knee problem with the Houston Rockets? Which player's going bad with a knee right now?
That's Dwight Howard. Who was questionable last night.
Beverly's
played and actually did pretty well.
Is this a knee also?
Sure.
Their point guard has been hurt too. All right, how about Rangers-Tampa Bay? Not looking good for the Rangers, or do you think Tampa Bay or the New York Rangers? Tampa Bay Lightning, New York Rangers.
Let's just ask, funny business with the Tampa Bay?
I don't know if there's any funny business.
Like,
you're always looking for some scheme that people
are playing. Yeah, welcome to sport. Welcome to the world of sports.
It's like you think something's wrong, like the American Pharaoh owner. You think there's something wrong with him. Be careful.
It's a
litigious bunch.
A recent article
Speak with
on
the facts.
Yahoo Finance mentioned a lawsuit between him and another gentleman over gambling debts.
Yes, over also, fronting money, it claimed.
It also mentions his bankruptcy.
Yes, and that's true. That's not an allegation.
Other facts
let's move on
about
to the,
his character.
Let's move on to the Cleveland series with Atlanta.
Atlanta, they can go all the way.
Seriously. Well, Kyrie Irving may not play.
Who's that?
He's the point guard. See, this is great because you really don't follow the sports. You
no.
give your gut reaction to
Demarre Carroll might not play either. Deep bone bruise.
You hate those deep bone bruises.
Yeah.
Those are really.
Worst.
Those are the worst that you could possibly
How
have.
How do you know you have a deep bone bruise?
They could look at an x-ray or MRI.
Yeah.
And you can't walk right. It hurts.
Aw.
There is that, too.
Aww.
Ruth, we're going to send you off with a have a great Memorial Day weekend. And you told us next week you won't be with us because you'll be in Viva Las Vegas raking in the big bucks, betting on the Hawks. Will you bet when you're there?
I didn't think of that. You could do that.
You could also bet because you're always telling us bet on the you could do it at the track here, too. But you could bet the Belmont Stakes, too, while you're there.
Oh, yeah, because it's American Pharoah all the way.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Ruth Lordan at Psychic Ruth and Ruth Lordan, LORDAN.com. And where are you going from here?
I'll be at the Poorhouse, which get there, but come get there early because the people do show up for their readings at the Poorhouse. I'm also doing lots online and I am starting to teach again. So if you're interested in developing your own powers, send me an email because we're putting together the class.
Well,
it's going to be a power circle.
Helmsy wants to develop his hacking powers, so can you help him with that?
Oh, he's got them. He's not admitting. No true one
look at it,
talks about it.
He's got that smug look on his face.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's wondering, how did I know?
You know what? I'm not going to call him Helm. I'm going to call him Haxy from now on. The hacker. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. Be right back with Jim.
Two legendary races, one day. This Sunday, the Indianapolis 500 at 10 a.m. and the Coca-Cola 600 at 4 p.m. Memorial Day Sunday, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Is this what he requested, I hope?
Paul Pierce music? Yeah.
This is Jayhawks.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure you're paying attention.
Huh?
I just want to make sure you're paying attention. Okay. Okay, Haxy. Let's play a little behind this. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, he listens to you, never listens to me.
Well, he's a very intelligent young man.
This goes without saying. He just got
nice
a read.
Nice get, by the way. Nice get. There's a million great Jayhawk songs. That is probably the most popular.
I'm proud of him, I got to admit.
Yep, that's a good one. And I was embarrassed enough to actually, I was trying to tell Gary Lewis, the guy who wrote that song, how I played it, and he plays it differently, and I kind of like my way better, which I think makes me a real jerk.
Did he think of maybe adapting your version of it?
No, he didn't at all. He's like, no, I wrote the song. I wrote it like this. I'm like, yeah, it sounds better like this.
That's very funny. How many Jayhawks are there?
They've gone through some incarnations. They started off with that group that you heard, which yep. is with Gary Lewis. Gary Lewis has always been kind of their central figure. I know their bass player, Mark Perlman, really well. He's played hoops with him. They added Craig Johnson recently. Mark Olson has been kind of the guy who keeps coming and going and breaking up the band. And when Mark Olson left them, I actually thought they actually get even better. His voice is so talented. But that kind of threw them off the path they're on, which is becoming maybe one of the more popular bands in the country. So they still produce great music. They're just not as celebrated as they once were.
Now, do you think we might someday see on Broadway Jayhawks Boys?
It's funny, Gary always tells me that where they really made some money is, they had a hit song post Olsen that got adapted as a fragrance commercial.
Is that right?
They never made more money than when they had a song adapted for commercials.
Oh, I bet the money on commercials is huge.
Yeah.
It would have to be. Now, Jim, I want to ask you a question that Helmsy here, actually, his new name is Haxy, because Ruth Lorden Psychic just told him that he has a future involving satellites and hacking if he wants to. Maybe hacking into the government satellite, the protected thing. So he's very smug about it. I think he is a hacker in his free time. But he brought up about Hawk Harrelson said that Torrey Hunter belongs in the Hall of Fame. At first, when I first hear that, my initial reaction is no, but I would have to look a lot closer at the numbers. What's your initial reaction to that?
Well, as you know, Torrey might be my favorite guy I've ever covered, favorite athlete I've ever covered, and I cannot say he's a Hall of Famer. He's just not there. He plays, listen, he was a great center fielder, Gold Glove center fielder, and that's major points. A center fielder who can win a Gold Glove and hit. That does put you in a pretty good category. And then he's played right field for a number of years. But, other than being a great defender in his prime, what's his calling card? He doesn't hit for a particularly high average, doesn't have a particularly high on-base percentage. He does hit for power, but not superstar power. He can run the bases, he can steal bases, but not at a superstar level. At his best, he was never... Nobody ever would have said he's the best player in the league at his position. So as good as he's been, and he's been wonderful for a long time, I don't think he's a... thing about Hall of Fame, I think so many people who want to get their favorite player in the Hall of Fame think that being in the Hall of Fame means you were really good. No. Hall of Fame is for the greatest of the great. It's not for guys who just had good careers.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, the other thing I had brought up What would you do, because he will come up, when you take a look and judge Maurer, would you judge him on the first 10 years as a catcher, or would you have to take the whole body of work, because the numbers aren't going to be there as a first baseman?
It's got to be a body of work, and he was absolutely on track to being a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hitting catchers of all time, until that mysterious injury in 2011. And since then, he has been, he was a good but not great hitting catcher after that injury, or after that, whatever that was. And now he's a first baseman who doesn't hit home runs. I wrote a bunch of Maurer's on track for the Hall of Fame pieces up until 2010. He's not on track anymore. The numbers are not going to be there. And, it's sad because, again, if he had stayed healthy, if he'd been able to remain a catcher, if he had, kept a little bit of pop in the bat, there's no doubt he was going to end up there.
You know, we talked, because we had at 3 o'clock on Mondays and Fridays, we have Mike Gelfand on, who was on the morning show with for, 25 odd years. But, and Mike brought up a good point too. When he thinks of some of the great catchers in the Hall of Fame, they had power numbers too. And, he brought up Johnny Bench, and you know Johnny Bench's number. 1 year, 48 home runs, 145, 148. Ribbies. I mean, a lot of these guys, there was power there too, but I don't disagree about him because he did have, the batting average. I think as a first baseman, he's going to have a few close to, if not 100 plus ribby years to keep it on track to be considered strongly by people. You mentioned first ballot at one point, but to get into the Hall of Fame.
He used to be compared with catchers, and as a hitting catcher, he's up there,
Because of his hit batting average, certainly.
Yeah, and he didn't have the power of Piazza or a bench, but he got on base a lot more and had higher batting averages, and he would have been. His problem for him to get there now, I don't think anybody expects the one aberrant power year to be reproduced. Nobody expects that anymore. But for him to kind of resurrect his candidacy at this point, he'd have to go back to winning batting titles.
Yes.
He'd have to follow the Boggs Carew method of getting the Hall of Fame, which is playing a corner position and excelling at batting average and on base percentage. Let's say something crazy happened and Maurer went back to hitting 330 every year. Well, then you'd start talking about him as a potential Hall of Famer again. But whatever it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be now, which is 280, 300, not a ton of RBI, not much power, playing a corner position, not even fielding as well as I thought he would. I thought he'd be a great first baseman. He has been an okay first baseman. He's just, Hall of Fame is for the elite of the elite. And right now, where would you even say Joe is on his own, on an average Twins team? He's not as good a player right now all around as Dozier. He's not as good an all around player as Plouffe. He's not as good an all around player as Hunter. He's just not there.
Well, he is better than Santana when it comes to walks.
He is better than Santana when it comes to walks, and he doesn't have as many throwing errors. I know you're cracking a joke there, but if you were going to take one player for the next 10 years, take Santana.
Well, yeah, because he's had the career. The thing about, with Maurer, when you look at his body, just look at his body, don't you think there should be 25 to 30 home runs in there?
Or at least, the thing is, even if you watch the films of him when he's a little kid swinging the bat, he's always had the inside-out swing. And he's always had a swing that produced singles and doubles. He's always been there. And I understand you can't just completely revamp a swing. So I don't think with that swing you can hit 25, 30 home runs, unless you have a crazy year in the Metrodome where your legs are fresh, you're in your prime, and the ball just you're hitting toward a low fence, and the ball just happens to get over that fence more than it hits the fence. But I always felt like he's a 6'5", 240-pound guy who, claims to work out year-round, who has massive legs. What I would like to see, and what we finally saw at Pittsburgh the other night, is, okay, you're not going to change your swing completely. You're not going to stop trying to hit doubles to left center. I understand. You're not going to stop trying to hit line drives every time you come up. I understand that. But you're a smart hitter. You have great command of the strike zone. You have great bat control. Sit on a pitch once in a while and say, okay, if he throws me a fastball up and in, I'm going to hit it 8 miles to right field. Because too often what I see with Joe is him saying, okay, here's what I do. I try to hit everything to left center. Well, don't try to hit the fastball inside left center. Try to make people pay for that. Good hitters can do that. Joe should be able to do that.
It's not, but it's just not in his way of thinking, because he is, you're right, he's not about, he doesn't want to be about power. If he knocks one out, he's fine with it. But I think he feels he'll screw up his swing. Jim, have yourself a great holiday weekend, and we're going to be off Monday, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
I'm still calling on Monday.
Right, well, you know what? I would hope you would. Jim, yeah. No, Jim, have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Take a quick break. Come right back with Twins president Dave St. Peter. That team is having a lot of fun. Six games above 500 going into Chicago. We'll be right back.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I love that organ music. We are joined by Twins president Dave St. Peter. He, president of a team six games above 500. Right now, that team would be headed to the postseason. Don't you wish that sometimes you can just cut the games, finish the season in Memorial Day?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good.
You're trained to always remember the marathon, right? So
yep.
After the first week of the season, we were thankful that we had 25 weeks to go. So you can't have it both ways. So it's the beauty of it. It's what, to me, makes it the great game. And ultimately, we're okay with where we're at. We're pleased. I think we can play better. We know we got a long road to hoe, but it sure beats the alternative. And I know I can sense the market getting a bit more excited, and that bodes well for attendance, a lot of things over the course of the summer.
Well, people are very excited about the team, and and some of the players. And now, Dave, there's something I wanted to ask you about, because I just found out about it the other day. It's the first time I saw a news report. You guys all knew that you'll get Santana back for 82 games, but you wouldn't have him for the postseason. But it was never really pointed out. There was just no need. You figured somebody will figure it out.
Well, I think, obviously we were well aware of that.
Sure you were.
That was part of a negotiation between the MLB Players Association of the league relative to the drug program that was implemented last year. We think it's the right approach. Obviously it's not good for us when one of our guys is impacted by that. But no, we knew it. I don't think the media focused on it, Bob.
Not at all.
Mainly because I think they felt the postseason was so far out of our grasp.
Yeah.
So, coming off of four consecutive 90 loss seasons, I understand that. But I think that's why. I don't think there was certainly no effort by the team to downplay it or to hide it. It's always been there as part of the policy. And ultimately, I can just flat out tell you, I hope it's a huge issue, because it means we're in the postseason. That's a good thing.
You know what? That's the best way to look at it, because if you have to worry about losing the guy because you're in the postseason, I guess you could probably handle it after the four years you put in.
I mean, you never want to deal with it. I don't want to ever make light of the situation, because it's disappointing on a lot of levels. But we're moving forward. Irvin is starting to get ready now in Fort Myers. Terry Ryan met with him this week, had a good report, so he'll continue to pitch and then really kind of start spring training over, report to probably Rochester in mid-June, and be ready to pitch around the 4th of July.
Now, Dave, the thing, and I know you guys have organizational meetings, and I know you certainly talked to Terry Ryan. Is there a plan, or what are the chances of, or when, of seeing Buxton and or Sano before the end of the year?
Well, their play is going to dictate it, Bob.
They've
been inconsistent. Neither one of them got off to a good start.
No.
They both have had their weeks where they've been our player of the week, and you see glimpses. There's no doubt that the Double-A has given them all they can handle, which is good. I mean, it's a good league they're playing in, the Southern League, and there's a lot of guys that have gone on from that league directly to the big league. So, I think a couple of things need to happen. I think you need to see a need in Minnesota, and ultimately guys here not performing. Moreover, these guys need to be healthy, and they need to be performing at a high level. So we don't attach a timetable to it. Their time in Minnesota will be earned, I can assure you that. But I know fans want to see them. Heck, I want to see them.
Well,
I also trust that, we're going to do what's right for them. And ultimately, they're both progressing nicely. And compared to a year ago, when neither one of them was on the field at this time,
yep,
I can tell you, I feel like we're in a much better spot. These guys are getting the at-bats they need, and the reports are very positive.
Talking to Dave St. Peter, the Twins president. I talked to Mike Vick earlier. Sorry about that.
Now, I could do a lot worse than that.
Now, let me ask you this, though, because I did the little faux pas there. Do you have a chance? Have you been to a Saints game ever, or is it just no time?
Oh, no, I've been to Saints games over at Midway. I've been to a few over the years, and I had the chance to tour CHS Field last week. There's a misnomer out there that the Twins and the Saints front offices and ownership don't get along. That's simply not true. I have great admiration for what Mike Vick and Marv Boatklang and the ownership group have built in terms of the brand of the Saints, and really happy for their front office, some really good people.
Yeah, they are.
So, no, I'm a baseball fan, and at the end of the day, the Saints and the Twins both are in the business of baseball. We just present the game a little differently, and I'm hoping to get over at some point this weekend and check out their new facility with people.
I haven't been there yet for a game, but it's spectacular from what I hear. Now, I want to get back to you because have you allowed yourself, Dave, to daydream about Buxton at the top of the order and go through, but then you got Santana at the bottom. Those guys back to back. When a pitcher has to go through, the number nine hitter, if he gets on base, he could run, and then your number one hitter could be the fastest guy in baseball.
Well, I mean, that's obviously one of the things we think is important in the game. I mean, speed has always played well, never really goes into a slump, but I think particularly in this world of limited power. Where speed can really be a difference maker. I don't think there's any doubt that's been a deliberate move in terms of our player personnel area to try to make speed a bigger part of our game. So we see that really up and down our minor leagues. Buxton has been described as the fastest player in professional baseball, period. So hopefully we're going to get a chance to see that in Minnesota in the relatively near future.
Well, you know in terms of, frightening being his speed, when you think he's considered the fastest guy, and then you think, well, that means he's faster than Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, that's how it's been
from
described.
Cincinnati, yeah.
The difference, I think, is that we think Buxton has a chance to be maybe a little bit better, more of an all-around player, one of those quote-unquote five-tool guys. So,
but that'd be
we'll
fun.
See, and whether Byron ends up being a leadoff guy or ends up longer-term being a guy that hits in the middle of the order, I think that remains to be seen.
Now, Dave, again, talking to Dave St. Peter, the Twins president, how have you, from what you've seen, how has Paul Molitor progressed as a manager from the start of the season, or maybe even spring training, to now? Have you seen growth in him as a manager, and things are coming maybe easier to him, and is he being quicker with decisions? Have you seen growth, or is it still too soon to make a statement like that?
Yeah, I don't know that the average person would ever be able to discern any difference in Paul, and I put myself in that boat just because I'm not in that clubhouse every day, and I'm certainly not in the dugout during games. Paul has approached this as I thought he would. I mean, he knows a lot of baseball. I've described him as a baseball savant in terms of the way he watches a game. But he also knew that there were things he didn't know. He'd never gone through a spring training. He'd never really gone through managing a bullpen. So he's asked a lot of questions. He leaned out to people like a Tom Kelly. He's certainly gotten to build a good rapport with his coaching staff, particularly Neil Allen, our pitching coach. So I don't think there's any doubt that he's probably a bit more at ease today.
Yep.
But Paul brings a level of competitiveness and intensity that anybody that knows him knows that's really, I think, something that drives him. So make no mistake, when he's at the ballpark, it's fun, but it's also about preparing for that night's game, and I think that our players pick up on that, and I think that they've gone about their business preparing, knowing each and every game is part of that journey. And a little thing you do early in a ball game might be the difference between winning or losing that night. I know Paul's really preached that.
You know what, Dave? I really appreciate it. And I'll tell you what: we're going to Memorial Day weekend, which is the start of summer. And it's for the first time in 4 or 5 years, it's going to be a fun summer. You have that feel because of the Twins.
Yeah.
I mean, people here have been starved for this, and it's good for you guys, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob. Again, long way to go, but I do think that's going to be the case, and I think what's going to make it even better is we really have an attractive summer schedule, great weekend opponents, Cubs coming in, Cardinals coming in, Yankees coming in, obviously the Brewers, all the AL Central rivals. So, I think we've had the ballpark, we've got the game day experience, we think that's as good as any. Now we're going to hopefully have a team that people can get behind, and I really do believe
Twins fans are looking for a reason to get back on board with this team. They love the brand, and they want to see the team out there playing their butt off every night with a chance to win. And hopefully we can continue what we started here over the first couple months.
Dave, thanks so much. They have a reason now. Dave St. Peter, Twins president. Have a great holiday weekend. Everybody out there, be careful. Have a great holiday weekend. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson coming up. Sunday we'll have the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. We got a call. I want to wish Tom and Carmi a happy anniversary. If you want to call in sometime, we'll shout that out for you. Have a great weekend. Haxi, take care of yourself. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.